Then let's continue with our money series, part three today. And today we specifically talk about giving. But before we get into that, let's go over the last couple of sermons again quickly. We started off with our view of money, which is really the key for everything else. We looked at the Bible, which clearly states God owns everything. Nothing we have, the time, the talents, the money, the possessions, anything that we might think is ours, it's really God's. God gave it to us. God can do with it whatever he wants because he is the owner. Our role is not to own money, but we are managers. We are stewards. We are managing the possessions we have for someone else. Faith is not directly connected with how much money we make. It's a very common wrong belief that some people have that if you're a good Christian, you become rich. The Bible never promises that. There's no connection between our faith and how much money we make, but faith is directly connected with our view of money. We put our trust either in money or in Jesus. We cannot do both. Jesus made those two things mutually exclusive. And if we choose to put our trust in money, we can also give up on Jesus officially because that's what we have already done. Faith is directly connected with our view of money. Then last week we looked at the fact that God promises to provide for all our needs. Everybody deals with two things when it comes to money. We deal with the aspect of providing. We need to get money from somewhere. And we deal with the aspect of managing. So if we get a paycheck or whatever, we need to manage what God is giving us. God promises multiple times in the Bible, he'll do the providing part. He'll give us everything we need. Not everything we want, but he will give us everything we need. He provides for all our needs. Our role is not that we have to provide for ourselves. That's how the world works, with all the negative consequences of the world. But our role is we need to be obedient to God. We need to listen to him. We need to be obedient to his biblical commandments, but we also need to be obedient to the voice of the Holy Spirit. When he tells us, like in Elijah's case or like in Peter's case, when he tells us to do, well, just go somewhere and I'll provide for you, or just do this and then I'll give you whatever you need, we need to be obedient to that kind of guidance from God. One aspect of that is, of course, also we need to manage well what he has already given us. And that's what we will look at over these next few weeks. I stress this foundation again because if we don't have that foundation, then today's message will make absolutely no sense. Many churches unfortunately make that mistake. They so stress on giving and there's so much talk about tithing and giving these 10% and everything, but they don't lay the foundations. They don't talk about the fact that God owns everything. They don't talk about the fact that God promises to provide for all our needs. And without those foundations, giving makes absolutely no sense. So I want to encourage all of us not to take today's message out of context, not to take it as a standalone message, but really look at it in the context of the last two messages. And if we need a refresher, they are on our website. We can listen to them again so that we fully understand what we are talking about today. So now we will move in the second part. We talked about providing, which is not our job, that's God's job. Now we talk about managing money. The Bible has a lot to say on this topic. Many Christians believe, well, as long as I give those 10%, then I'm good, and with the remaining 90%, I can do whatever I want. Absolute nonsense. The Bible has a lot to say about every aspect of money, not just about giving. And we will go through three categories over the next few weeks. The first one is today, because it is what God commands us to do first, and that is giving. The next week, we'll talk about what God commands us to do second, and that is saving. And then, after that, we talk about budgeting the rest, managing what remains after we give and after we save. On Easter, obviously, we will not talk about money directly, but as you will see, it will also be tied in to this whole topic. It will be a standalone message, so hopefully we have some guests, some people who don't come here regularly, and so that they won't feel like, well, I didn't understand anything, because he was always referring to the last 5 weeks. So it's going to be standalone, but for those of us who are here regularly, we will realize that the whole message of Easter is really very tightly connected with the aspect of giving. And that's what we will be focusing on today. So for the introduction, let's start with some verses from the Old Testament. What does the Bible say about this whole topic of giving? Let's look in the time of Moses, in the time of Israel, in the desert. What did the Bible say there? Deuteronomy 14:22. You shall truly tithe all the increase of your seed that the field brings forth year by year. Back then, most people were farmers, and God was telling the people, I want you to bring in 10% of all the grain of everything that you make. I want you to give that away. Malachi, this was many years later, Malachi 3:8-10, we read it in the beginning, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, how have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So here, again, an Old Testament passage where Malachi is saying, if you are faithful, if you are faithful in giving your tithe, I will bless you. Let's look at another verse. Jonas? There we go. 2 Chronicles 31:4-5. Moreover, he commanded the people that dwelt in Jerusalem to give the portion due to the priests and the Levites, that they might be encouraged in the law of the Lord. And as soon as the commandment was spread abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance the first fruits of grain, wine, and oil, and honey, and of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things brought they in abundantly. So throughout the Old Testament, clearly there was the habit, there was a commandment. Bring 10% of everything that you receive and give it to the priests, give it to the Levites. Many people then say this was an Old Testament law. In the New Testament, Jesus did away with this concept of tithing. Nonsense. Let's look at what Jesus said. Matthew 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. These you ought to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. So there's a lot to say about this verse, but it's not our focus today. But what is Jesus basically saying? He is telling the religious leaders at that time, 2,000 years ago, you guys do tithe, you give away 10% of all your income, and that's a good thing. Continue doing that. But there are more important things. Love, justice, mercy, all these things. That's more important. But he didn't say, well, because this is more important, you can forget about this one. He said, continue doing this, but do the more important things as well. And that is to love people. And instead of condemning them, that's what the religious leaders at the time did. Jesus clearly affirms the principle of tithing. He didn't do away with it. The New Testament actually goes way beyond tithing. Think about it. Jesus never lowered the standard. What did he do with anger? In the Old Testament, it was said, don't kill. Jesus put the standard higher. And he said, when you are bitter and angry with another person and you refuse to let go of your anger, that's already murder. He set the bar higher. Sexuality. In the Old Testament, the law was you cannot sleep with someone that you're not married to. Jesus came and he said, you know, when you look at a person with lust in your eye, you have already committed adultery. He set the bar higher, not lower. That's what he did everywhere. And he did the same with money as well. And he did the same with giving as well. Let's look at another verse, Acts 4. This was then the apostles and the followers of Jesus after the resurrection. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that any of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. The people back then lived a kind of life where they said, nothing I possess is actually mine anymore. They said, everything belongs to all believers. Now, that doesn't do away with the principle of tithing, but here we see an example of people who said, tithing is just the starting point. I give away 10%, but the rest that remains afterwards is still not mine. I share it with everybody else. The New Testament goes way beyond tithing. Jesus set the bar higher, not lower. So clearly, the Old Testament and the New Testament give us a commandment. 10% of all our income, we are supposed to give it away. Next question, which part should we give? Well, Proverbs 3:9, honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. The key here is the first fruits. Now, this is not legalistic in the sense of, okay, I get paid on Thursday, but now I cannot spend any euro until Sunday so I can give it to the church on, at the service. That's not the point. It's not about the order in which I spend things. But what matters is the order of priority. It's a hard attitude that I say whenever I get paid, I do not compromise that 10% I always give away. In our family, we have the practice of budgeting. So every month we sit together and we look at the numbers, how much did come in, how do we spend it, and all these things. And there are things that are pretty fixed. There are things like rent. There are things like bills that are coming. We know they are coming. Electricity, etc. And all these things that we all have to pay. And so we all know that if I don't pay these, I'm going to get in trouble. So they are high in priority. And then there are other things that we do if we have the money, but we don't do if we don't have the money. Going out, eating outside, traveling, buying something nice, these kind of things. That's kind of second in priority. Because first, we need to pay the necessities. And then if money is left, then we could do some nice things. But we don't do nice things and then don't have money to pay the rent because then we're in trouble. So we all kind of see how we need to prioritize certain things in our monthly budget. Now, what do you guess is the highest priority for us? Our tithe. We never compromise on the 10%. That one goes out first. If we ever had the choice, thankfully God has been very faithful to us since we came here, but if we ever had the choice and had to say, well, if we pay the full tithe, we don't have enough in the bank anymore to pay the rent, we would still tithe first. Because our trust is in God and is in God's provisions. And we would still say we tithe first and we trust that God will give us the money to pay the rent. Because the tithe is more important than keeping worldly obligations. Not that worldly obligations don't matter. Of course, we need to be faithful there too. But if it comes down to I choose one or the other, the tithe would still go first. That's what it means to be the first fruits. We don't compromise on it. Nothing else can push that out of our budget. That is the first priority. Next question that many people ask, gross or net? 10% of what? Before tax or after tax? For most of us, certain money never reaches our bank account. if we are hired and we get paid, then of course the employer already takes away things like health insurance, pension payment, state taxes, and these kind of things. And they never end up on our account. So I don't need to tithe those, right? Well, I would not agree with that. Because it's just worldly practices. Just imagine you get the gross income, the total income on your account, and then the government comes and says, okay, so now I'm taking some money from your account for your income tax, and the health insurance comes and says, I'm taking some money away from your account for your health insurance, and all these things, then I think we would all agree, in that case, I need to tithe the gross income, the total of what I make, not just the what is left afterwards. So just because certain money doesn't reach our account doesn't mean that we didn't earn it. Just because we can't see the number in our bank account doesn't mean that we didn't get it. It was just already used for something else. The health insurance is something good for us. We need to earn it. And so it's an income that is already paid for. Pension payment, the same. Taxes, the same. Depends a little bit on your situation. Some of us don't have an income right now. Some people like me, I'm self-employed. I'm getting the gross income anyways, and I need to deal with all the taxes myself. But it is my absolute conviction. We need to tithe our total income and not just what remains after taxes. Because just because it doesn't reach our account doesn't mean we didn't earn it. So I think we've established the fact the Bible tells us to tithe. Next obvious question is then, who to tithe to? Who do we give the money to? Can we just give it to anybody? Do we have to give it to the church? Can I give it to the poor and needy? Well, it's my conviction. We have to give it to the people who feed us. Malachi 3:10. Bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. God speaking, and test me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall be no room enough to receive it. That was the Old Testament. Let's look into the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 9. Even so has the Lord ordained that they who preach the gospel should live off the gospel. In the Old Testament, the people gave directly to the Levites. The people gave directly to the priests. So they gave to the church organization, and that's where they gave their money to. The principle in the New Testament is give your tithe to the people who feed you spiritually. Those who teach you, those who take spiritual care of you, those are the people who receive your tithe. Now, that's not necessarily a person, though it can be. Maybe there is a mentor or someone who is just kind of taking care of many people. And then those who are being mentored, they give their tithe to that particular person. It can be a person, but obviously in most cases nowadays, it's an organization. And in our case, that would be this church. Because we here are being spiritually fed by this church, by Aletheia, and that means that this principle of tithing applied to this situation means our tithe should go to this particular church. Now I know as soon as a pastor says something like this, many people immediately, their alarm bells go up and they say, Pastor, you just want to get rich. Such a conflict of interest. You are teaching on tithing simply because you want my money. Hear that very often. Part of the argument might be true. It is true that part of my personal income comes from this church. Part of it comes from my freelance work. Part of it comes from here. So yes, you can accuse me of this kind of conflict of interest too. But here are a few things we have to consider. First thing I want to say is a church that never teaches on money is not a church. If the Bible talks more about money than about any other topic, more than prayer, more than heaven, more than any other topic, then a church has to talk about money too. If not, we're just missing the point. And part of money, part of what the Bible teaches about money is giving. So if I never mentioned this, or if this church never mentioned this topic, we would really miss the point. We have to talk about it. The Bible commands us to talk about it. So that's the first thing I want to say. Second thing I want to say is our responsibility, all of us, is not to figure out whether the pastor is preaching with the right motives. Our job is to figure out, is this teaching biblical? We talked about it, I think it was around a year ago, being Bereans. The Bereans, after they listened to Paul's teaching, every night they went back, they read the Old Testament, which they had at the time, and they verified, is what Paul is saying true? That is our job. And so, if God commands us to give the tithe, all our responsibility is to give the tithe. If it's not true, and if I'm teaching nonsense, and you open your Bible and you come to the conclusion, no, Ben is talking just rubbish, and it's not true, the Bible doesn't talk about tithing, then don't do it. But from all of us, we cannot assign motives to someone who talks about tithing and make that the basis of our decision whether we give or not. That's not the foundation. The foundation is it biblical? And that's a decision all of us need to make ourselves. We need to read our Bible. We need to check whether what I'm saying is true. And if it's true, we got to obey. And if it's not true, we can ignore it. But that's totally independent of what kind of motives I might have in the back of my mind. Think about it. What are we all doing when we listen to messages by a pastor? We're basically trusting with our eternity, with our lives. If we come here week by week, listen to messages, listen to biblical teaching, we are putting our eternity on the line. And we are trusting that what the person in the front is saying is actually biblical. That is way more important than money. If we cannot trust a church, if we cannot trust a leadership with the topic of money, we're in the wrong place. Because how can we trust our lives, our eternity, to a church if they don't even get money right? It makes absolutely no sense. So what I'm trying to say is, if we trust our lives to a church and trust that they teach biblical teaching and that they help us draw closer to God, that they pray for us, all these things, then we also need to obey and we need to tithe to that church. And if we cannot trust that church even with money, we're in the wrong place. And then we need to say, if I can't trust them with money, I go somewhere else. Because there are other churches, there are good churches, and if they get the money thing right, then let's go there. Because this church is just nonsense. Not tithing is simply not a logical option. If we don't trust our church with money, we should leave the church altogether. Those two things go hand in hand. One day, all of us will stand before God. And God will not ask you, did your pastor teach on money with the right motives? That's not your responsibility. And God is not going to ask you that question. He's going to ask me that question. But he's going to ask all of us, how did you respond to my commandment on tithing? And that's a responsibility that all of us have. That's what we need to focus on. But of course, that doesn't mean that we as a church can just do whatever we want with our money. We really do our best to earn your trust. when it comes to what's happening with the money that you give to this church. As you know, or maybe you don't know, then I won't say it again, we have three people on our leadership who see every single transaction. That's Dan, who is not here today. He has to work today. That's Martin. He is our treasurer. That's myself. We look over each other's shoulder, and we make sure that money is spent well. And if money is kind of going like, "Huh, what is this?" we immediately raise a flag, and we contact each other and say like, "Hey, 200 euro just went off our account. What's going on here? What is this for?" We check on each other. I don't pay myself. Martin is doing that. He's wiring the money on our account, and he is not getting paid for that. So we make sure that there's a certain accountability. I believe it's bad practice if a pastor kind of pays himself. I know in some churches that is happening, but we purposely said we are not going to do that. As you know, we give regular reports. Every 2-3 months or so, we come here, Martin kind of puts up a PowerPoint and kind of like, this was the income over the last 2 months, this was how we spend it, this is how the percentages and everything. We try to keep you in the loop and we try to show you what's going on with the money that you give. We also want to try to make decisions together. In a few weeks, we will give you some options, we will give you some guidelines about our tithe. How much is our tithe right now? That's sitting? 8,000 euro that we still need to give away. We want to make sure that those 8,000 euro, the church tithe, is given to a good organization. And we will bring it to you, to everyone, and we will say, hey, we have this money that is sitting here. Now, give us some ideas, give us some suggestions what we could do with the money. We want to involve you in that process and not just decide and you want to like what's happening, but we want to make sure everybody gets a voice and can say, like, I know an organization, I know some missionaries, I know some people there that we could support. Could we do that? So we want to involve everyone and not just leave you in the dark. Also, we have to abide in German laws. We are being audited by the German government, by Finanzamt. And if we mess this up, we are in legal trouble. Not all of you, but the leadership, meaning Don, Martin, and I. We would get legally sued or whatever if we mismanage the money. So we are doing everything we can to build trust, to build accountability, so that everybody knows what's going on with the money. One more thing I want to say to that, we generally don't show every single transaction, because especially when it comes to giving, because we don't want to unhealthy speculations like, ooh, that person must be rich, he must earn a lot of money, look at his tithe. We don't want that kind of thing to be happening in our church. So that's why we usually group it, so that it doesn't go down to an individual transaction. But at the same time, I want to say, if you want more information, we can get that to you. So if you say like, hey, I'm really not sure about this, I want to know where my money went, I want to make sure it's in there, I want to make sure how you spend it, I want to see the details, we can give that to you. Just ask for it. But what we do publicly, what we do here just showing on PowerPoint, is more kind of an overview, so that we don't have these kind of unhealthy speculations. But at the same time, we do everything we can to earn your trust. And if you have questions, come to us. We will talk about it. So all that to say, that's our practice. That's what we do in this church. But it doesn't change the fact. All of us are commanded to give our tithe to the organization that spiritually feeds us. And that is this church for us attending here. So, then, what is the result of giving? What happens when we give? Well, we looked at this verse several times already. The result is God will bless us. Not necessarily in material form in this life, because here it is talking about blessings, but I don't think that God will always just give us lots of money. Maybe he does, maybe he does not. That's not the promise. But what the Bible does promise is we will receive spiritual blessings. We will receive such joy, such peace, and such security when we put our trust in God. And we put our trust, when we show that we put our trust in God, by giving some of the money he gives us, giving it to him giving it to the church and simply saying, I don't need it. I trust that my God will provide for all my needs. And then we can experience the joy and the security that He offers. God already knows what is in our hearts. You and I, we don't need to prove anything to God and say, God, I prove to you that I trust you by giving my 10%, maybe even giving 15 or 20%, so that you have to believe me that I trust in you. That's nonsense. God knows our hearts better than we know our own. What giving is a major indicator to ourselves is where we put our trust. When I say I trust in God, but I don't tithe, I'm basically contradicting myself. And I'm saying, I trust money God more than I trust God. That's the reality. God already knows it, but it exposes our hearts and it shows our own hearts whether we truly believe what we say we believe. Next slide. 2 Corinthians 9:7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. When we truly have faith, when we truly trust God, we don't have to give. When we truly trust God, when our hearts are right with Him, then tithing and giving and sharing is a joyful thing. It's something we want to do. It's something where we say, God, you gave everything for me. Jesus, you gave your life for me. I am spiritually rich. I have eternal life. I have forgiveness, all because of you. I'm so thankful. You are my provider. I don't need to provide for myself. I don't need to worry about the future. And that's why I can say, I don't need these 10%. I can joyfully and gladly give them to you so that your kingdom will be built. This money that I'm giving is simply a way of saying thank you. It's simply a way of saying, you're all I need, and I trust in you. Thank you for the freedom that I have, because you're my provider, because you know all my needs and you take care of all I need, of all my needs. That's why I feel so free. And this comes when I give. And so I'm just so glad that I can give out of gratitude from my heart, because you have given me so much. That's what happens to us when we truly have faith and truly trust in God. We don't have to give. It's a joyful thing to give. Jesus said this in Matthew 6. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart be also. Jesus is saying, your focus cannot be this life. Your focus cannot be tomorrow or next year or in 5 years or my retirement or my house or my car or anything like that. If that's our focus, we're missing the point and we are probably not Christians at all. Our focus must be eternity. Our focus must be heaven. Our focus must be to be right with God eternally and to share that with others so that they can be right with God eternally as well. If we don't give, we basically proclaim loud and clear to ourselves and to everyone else, I trust money more than I trust God. My focus in this life is the here and now. My focus is to have fun. My focus is to have pleasure. My focus is to have a good retirement and to have some money then. That's my focus of this life. And then we are disqualified from heaven. But Jesus is saying here, there is something better. Focus on eternal riches. Focus on treasures in heaven. And we can, of course, invest in those in many different ways. But one of them, one big one, is being faithful to God and being faithful to God with our giving. So tithing is really not about giving back to God. Everything belongs to Him anyways. If you get a paycheck over 2,000 euro, it's not like 200 euro of those belong to God. No, all 2,000 belong to God. It's His. Everything belongs to Him anyways. He has endless resources. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need my money. If He wanted our money, He could do whatever He wants to take it right now. Think about Job. He was rich. He had everything. And God just in a moment decided it's all gone. And within a matter of minutes, He lost everything. If God wanted to do that with you, if He wanted to do that with me, He could do it at any moment. He doesn't need us to give Him money. Tithing is about our hearts. We show to ourselves where our trust is, where our heart is. And we show whether we truly believe what we say we believe, whether we truly trust Jesus. Some of you might know Andy Stanley. He is a pastor of a big church in the US. When he talks about giving, he says it in a very good way. He says, we don't want something from you. We want something for you. And I think that's really a great way to summarize this whole teaching on giving. Yes, unfortunately, some pastors misuse the concept of tithing for personal gain. I even heard of pastors who said, don't give to the church, give it to me. Unfortunately, this kind of weird stuff is happening. Yes, some pastors have mixed motives. They kind of take the biblical principle and they teach the biblical principle, but somewhere in their mind, they just want more money, and that kind of mixes in with their teaching. Some use their position and their influence to get rich. Yes, it's happening. But when such a message is given with the right motives, with the right heart, and truly from with a biblical perspective, it comes down to this. A church doesn't want something from their congregation. A church wants something for their congregation. That's what it means to lead in the kingdom of God. That's what it means to love in the kingdom of God. We are not here gathering together on Sundays and on Fridays to kind of get something from each other. We are gathering because we want to give something to each other. And that's really the heart behind a message like today's. We don't want your money. We want the blessings to come on this church and on every single person here. That comes when we are faithful with giving our tithe as Jesus commanded us to give. Why is giving so important to God? Well, He is a giving God. What did He give? Everything. Jesus gave His life. Jesus went to hell so that we don't have to. Jesus gave up everything. God is the most giving God that we could ever imagine. He gave everything for our sake. So when God is asking us to tithe, He is not asking us to do something that He wasn't willing to do. He gave much more than we could ever give. He gave everything. When we give, we become more like God. We show who God is, what a giving God He is. We show that to ourselves. We become more giving, not just in the area of money. When we get into the habit of giving money, we will also get into the habit of giving in other ways. Giving our time. Giving our focus. giving our energy for the sake of other people. It transforms us. It changes us. We bring glory to God. And what is the purpose in this life? Why did God create us? To bring glory to Him. When we give, we show who God is. We bring glory to Him. And that's why He put us on this earth. Giving is an act of worship. And that's why we should do it. For the glory of His name. May we pray. Father, thank you that you gave everything. Because if you didn't give everything, Jesus, if you didn't give your life, we could not stand. And we would only have one certain destiny, eternal separation from you in hell. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave everything for our sake. Thank you that you are a giving God. Thank you that you showed it to us. You didn't just talk about it, but you demonstrated it to us on the cross, how giving you truly are. And Lord, today we want to respond to that love. Today we want to respond to that sacrifice by saying, God, I'm going to be giving too. I'm going to be giving in the way I interact with other people, in my workplace, in my university, in my family, in my sports club, wherever I spend free time. I choose to be more giving because you gave everything. And Lord, today we also respond with our finances. We declare, Lord, that you have given everything for us, and us giving the tithe is really a small thing compared to that. So Lord, we pray that you will help us today to trust you, to trust that you are the provider, to trust that you truly are a good father who takes care of all our needs, and to trust in your promises, not in this world system, not in the way that this world works, not in our math, not in our calculations, but to simply trust in you. Lord, we pray that you will give us faith. We pray that you will give us assurance. We pray that your Holy Spirit will give us comfort, as yes, we acknowledge sometimes it is painful to give. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will help us to really put into practice what you have commanded us to do. So Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit who speaks to us right now. And Lord, we pray that you will help us to live differently, to not be bound to this world system any longer, to not be bound in worldly securities any longer, but to enjoy the freedom and the liberty that comes when we fully and wholly put our trust in you and not in our finances. So Lord, give us that faith and strengthen our faith, Lord, as we give. So we love you, and we're just grateful, Lord, that you are with us. And we're grateful for your generosity towards us. Help us to respond. For the glory of your name. Amen.